Yeah, I am Dave Beer, promoter of Back to Basics, also DJ, musician and artist here in the city. We've been running for 28 years, which is now recognised by Guinness as the longest running club night in Europe. For the first 20 years we were running every Saturday in different venues across the city. But always in Leeds. We refused to do it anywhere else because home is where the heart is, they say. I started off as a following bands. I ran away with The Clash when I was about 15. When I say ran away, I went off on tour following them around, and but they ended up sending me back. and talking to my mum on the phone, Joe Summer phoning me mum and saying, "We've got him here." And she's going, "You better look after him." But they persuaded me to go to art school, so I went to art school after that when I was 16. All the bands that I was into were at art school as well, and it was the one thing that I was good at that time. But mainly to be involved in music, to be in a band or whatever. So then we're following bands like The Cure, which then obviously led into the Leeds scene, which was like the Sisters of Mercy, and I went everywhere with them, firstly as a photographer, then as a roadie, which were great times. Leeds was known as Gotham City back then. It was like, we didn't like to be known as Goths, but that was the term that the music press gave us. But there was a lot of ghostly looking figures wandering around Leeds city centre back in the mid 80s. But it was a very different city back then, you know, until the 90s really. We started Back to Basics because there was nothing in the city, you know, or in fact nothing this side of Manchester or Nottingham that did the kind of music that we were listening to then. It was at the end of the rave, well, you know, I say the end of the rave period, the Criminal Justice Bill was coming in, the rave scene had got a little bit jaded and was a little bit out of control, to be honest. So it was time to go back into nightclubs. But, you know, after disco and all that period, like, there was a lot of discos and nightclubs that were not, they were empty. And just sat there doing nothing. So we approached a place at the bottom of Biggott called Rockshots? Yeah, Rockshots and Bananas, which is a gay club at the time, which is sort of displaying where the New Penny is. But it was purposely we did it there because we knew that that would keep an element out, like the football hooligan element, and so we knew we started on one floor, but it just took off. It was like we obviously struck a nerve, and it just was amazing. It was like first week we had 80 people on the top floor, the next week we had it doubled again. We had like, you know, 160, and then the week after it was 320, and you know 640, and before we knew it, we had all three floors of the club on a Saturday night, and people, thousands of people coming, and we were looking out about 1,000 people a time that were queuing up. You know, all the Biggott was blocked off. There's film footage of the, you know, just total mayhem, you know, trying to get into the club. Not, you know, the authorities and the police wondered what on earth was going on there, you know. It was just probably the most desired place to be at one point for like maybe 2 years. In its halcyon days, it was like, you know, the destination spot for electronic music, people that were into dance music or house music. So the people coming from all over Europe, you know, it was amazing. I mean, it really was, considering we didn't have any hotels at that point in the city. I mean, we wouldn't let people into our club with trainers on, for instance, at first. It was dedicated to those in long trousers and sensible shoes. So that was just to make people make more of an effort again for a Saturday night out, you know, back in that same respect that they used to do, like, in the 50s and 60s, you know. It was like, for me, it was like, yeah, get your favourite record on the Saturday afternoon and get a new shirt and get yourself spugged up and have a look at yourself in the mirror before you left. And that's the last time you looked at yourself, and you thought you looked like that for the rest of the night till you came home early hours. And it was like, at that time, we had to close the club at 2 o'clock. So then we'd go on to do after parties at places. Much so until the Criminal Justice Bill came. And then we had the disco granny, Lorna Cohen. She was on the council, and she we didn't give her the idea. She just like she I don't know what how she came about realizing the fact that if that we didn't serve alcohol in the dance clubs, that we could stay open as long as we liked, you know. And it was like, so next thing we know, we were the first, one of the leading cities to start looking at, you know, being more European. So, you know, having a 24-hour lead, she planned for. But, you know, after long negotiations with the police, we got a 4 o'clock licence, which then went to 6. But it stopped a lot of people coming out of the streets at the same time, you know, like. It's kind of amazing, really, what happened with Back to Basics, musically. And, I mean, the notoriety that it got and the attention that it had and the amount of people that were coming to the city because of it, and the students, you know, it was, before we knew it, it was like a runaway horse. It was amazing. But, you know, as far as electronic music goes, it's been an overwhelming success, and, you know, the press, music press and the nationals have picked up on it. And before we knew it, we were making music with, like, David Bowie and Chrissy Hynde, and, you know, it was like we've been offered all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And but it was almost like being a famous band at one point, you know. It was like, without actually having a band, you know, the clubbers became the band. And but house music was very much like that. And at one point, there was like, in all the music magazines, the top, you know, 5 clubs were in Leeds, you know. So on a Saturday night, you had Back to Basics, you had Hard Times, you had Vague, you had Orbit, we had Arc. People were just travelling to Leeds. So nightlife economy had become a very big part of the city, which brought students, you know, which brought income, which brought hotels, which brought retail. When the council recognised, you know, the input that I'd had on the city, and they call me like an honorary son now, and threw a big party in Millennium Square, which was where joined forces with Offa North. So two Leeds institutions coming together, you know, musical institutions at all the ends of the spectrum. And it was, you know, who would have ever thought that, you know, that would have been possible once upon a time. And it was, and it wasn't just possible, it was probably magical, you know. It was like, you know, yes, it rained, but that's Leeds, you know. 4,000 people just stood out in the rain, you know, all, you know, some laughing, some crying, you know, not because of the rain, because of the music and the unity and the mix of the overall experience was just something else. And we had like some of the biggest stars in the industry come, you know, like Basement Jacks and Groove Armada, Adamski, Robert Owens, Kareen Bailey-Ray, you know, like Leeds First Lady. She came and sang I Feel Loved, you know, Donna Summer song, which was absolutely, you know, outstanding moment. You know, it really was magical. And, you know, it's a day that I'll never forget, you know.